So Moses and God are sitting down and having a little discussion. It's not a bad way to start your day, really, especially given the events that have recently transpired. These are the events that weren't covered in our Old Testament reading this morning, so let me remind you. Moses has already sat down and talked with God for quite a while. He got the first version of the Ten Commandments, and then he came down the mountain, and there was the golden calf, and, well, that didn't go so well now, did it? So he went back up the mountain, and we've had to do some repair work on the relationship. And now we're sitting down and we're talking. And Moses has some questions, or more accurately, some requests. He's getting nervous again. Remember, this is Moses, the fearful leader, the one who's not sure he can do it, the one who needs a little help along the way. So we start off with, well, who will be with me? And God reassures Moses, it's okay, I will go with you. Things are going really quite well, especially considering the fact that God has no reason to like the Israelites at this point in time. And Moses decides to go for a slightly bigger request. He might be a little fearful, but he's a canny negotiator in this conversation. Well, if you're going to stay with me, what about all of those people? Will you stay with us, and will you take us somewhere else? Will you bring us up out of the place we are encamped? God says, yes. So apparently, even if everything isn't forgotten, it is forgiven. That golden calf thing can be put in the past. And then Moses decides to really go for the big question. Well, God, can I see you? Show me your glory. And before we get to God's response, there are a few things we have to pause and consider. First, people who do negotiating and conversation studies will tell you that if after you've gotten a few yeses, it gets easier for the person on the other side of the conversation to say yes. So Moses is really being smart here, except, of course, the person on the other end of the conversation isn't a person at all, but is God. So there's no guarantee how this is going to play out. Second, Moses has already spent more time with God than anyone else in his entire generation. Days on Mount Sinai, that whole burning bush thing before that, and now we're into the second stint of time alone in conversation with God. We're asking not only for something no one else is getting, we're already there, we're asking for something beyond that. We're asking for something very specific. Who, after all, were the last people to see God face to face? Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. This on the heels of the golden calf incident. We're asking for something very big. Very big indeed. A return to perfection. An acknowledgement of the righteousness of Moses. Moses, who aside from his fearfulness as a leader, let's all remember, is also a murderer and someone who fled persecution for that crime. Moses is certainly not what we would consider a righteous person. But Moses has posed the question, and God responds, And God's response is, in and of itself, very interesting. I like this response for several reasons. God doesn't say yes or no right away. He sort of buys time. You know, when your kid comes up to you and says, can we do this? And you reply with a list of everything you have to do while you're thinking of what the right answer is and whether or not it will fit in. That's sort of how this answer feels to me. Remember everything I have said yes to already, Moses? And then God points out that if Moses ever saw him face to face, Moses would die. So we can't just say yes. That's a dangerous answer. The glory of God is dangerous. But, and this is the other reason I like this answer, God has found the loophole. I like gods who find loopholes. I do. God has found the loophole. God says, you can't see me directly, but I will put you in this cleft in the rock. Think of it as like a small cave, a little indentation in the rock face. And I'll cover you up. And as I pass by, you'll know that I'm passing by. So you'll still know that I am there. And after I am gone, I'll remove my hand. You can see me as I leave. You can come as close as you can come to seeing me and still live. We'll honor the intent of your request and let you live. The almost yes answer. Not bad when you stop to think about it. The other thing in all of this that we never stop to think about or that we have forgotten is what this meant for Moses. Because we get to the yes and then our reading ends. And if you keep reading in the text, we are told what happens when Moses comes down from the mountain. He had come so close to God that he was changed. His face, we are told, shone. And it made everyone else uncomfortable. So when he was among the people, he would wear a veil over his face. And he would only go uncovered when he was talking to God. The glory of God is no simple thing, as we know. God is no simple thing. The closer we come to God, the more changed we are. And the more the people around us notice that. It is not a bad thing. It simply is. There are several other things to remember from this story. When Moses, the murderer, the fearful leader, asked a preposterous question of God, a question the answer should easily have been no to, God found a way to say yes. The God who we cannot see, because God is so different from who we are, from what we are, still finds a way to say yes to us. Despite every reason to say no, God still finds a way to say yes. What a wonderful thing to know. Amen.